Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Ameen. We are now in the 22nd juz. So the question from yesterday, what is the verse in the 21st juz that mentions five things that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows? The verse in the 21st juz that mentions the five things that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And as we are now, of course, going into the 23rd night and we're in the best 10 nights of the year, we want to remind you all, inshallah ta'ala, on this night, and with what's left of Ramadan, to please, inshallah ta'ala, contribute to Yaqeen. If you have benefited from the resources within Allah ta'ala, we ask that you invest in them, inshallah, with whatever you can. You can automate your donations over the last few nights, inshallah ta'ala, or whatever it is that you feel inclined to. But we ask that you not just give to Yaqeen, but to all the wonderful efforts that are out there, inshallah, and show ihsan in these beautiful nights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you all. Yeah. We're blessed with a distinguished guest, mashallah, Sheikh Abdullah Smith, Abu Dhahira, here in New Jersey, alhamdulillah. Mashallah. Just moved here to MCMC here in Piscataway, alhamdulillah. I know you and Sheikh Abdullah go back. I was telling the mashayikh before you got here, I was like, you know, subhanAllah, I met Sheikh Abdullah in Houston when you were the Imam and Champions Masjid.
Yes.
And I remember every single word, I'm being real, that you said when you, because it was that generous of an introduction, Sheikh. So jazakallah khair. When you mentioned the hadith about, you know, when someone comes to you, Kareem, Qawmu Kareem, then show that person. So I remember exactly how you had introed me to that community, and I appreciated your hospitality. And I don't even remember what year that was. So what year was that, Sheikh?
That had to be 2011 or 2012.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it was my last year in New Orleans as the Imam in New Orleans. So it would have been 2011, alhamdulillah. So may Allah reward you for that.
Ameen.
Wonderful. You know, hospitality, and we hope we can, inshallah ta'ala, repay the favor with the ta'ala in some way. So Sheikh Abdullah is a wonderful, mashallah, person, and you know, his work's online. You can find his stuff in different places, but I know the New Jersey community is excited to have you. And you two know each other too, right?
Oh, we go way back, man, mashallah.
Yeah,
1997, 98.
Yeah.
Met in Arlington,
yes.
Yeah.
In the hotel room at the conference.
Yeah, mashallah.
Mashallah.
Jim, another studious brother, mashallah. Asset to the community, any community, mashallah. May Allah listen.
I mean, so y'all got into Medina same time?
Yes, year 2000.
Mashallah.
Mashallah.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You got any stories, Sheikh, of him like in the gym back in Medina? Or is that a new thing? Was that a post-Medina thing?
No, he was always very, very, very fit. He was always a very fit brother. Always very mannerable. One of the things that was very noticeable was that he was, you know, someone who had good manners, and he stood out with good character. At that time, he was a very quiet individual. Now he speaks out a little bit more, but he was very, 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 very mannerable. And that was one of the first things that I noticed about him.
Alhamdulillah. Barak fikum. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. We're glad to have you. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah ta'ala, as we get into juz 22 now, you know, one of the things, subhanAllah, that we've been identifying are the schemes. So I want you to pay attention. In juz 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a set of verses, أَمَّنْ 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 خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَمَّنْ جَعْلَ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Who is the one? Who is the one? Who is the one? So who's the one who created the heavens and the earth? Who's the one that made the earth a place of settlement? Who's the one that responds to the one who calls in need? And then when we went to juz 21, وَلَا إِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ, and if you ask them, and if you ask them, and if you ask them, مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, who created the heavens and the earth? Who did all of these things that you recognize as manifest blessings in your life? Now when we come to juz 22, the verse, chapter 34, verse 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلِ اللَّهِ. Ask them, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who provides for you from the heavens and the earth? Say Allah, right? So it's like you're getting to a point where you're being told to affirm what you know. قُلِ اللَّهِ. Say, it is Allah who provides for you from the heavens and from the earth. وَإِنَّا وَإِيَّاكُمْ لَعَلَى هُدًى أَوْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And verily, now one of the two groups, either us or you, are rightly guided, and the other one is clearly astray. Right, so now the filtration process is once again highlighted, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to people with what they know and informing them about what they don't know. And at this point now, we're two groups. May Allah azza wa jalla make us amongst those who are rightly guided and protect us from being astray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to that affirmation. And of course, the very next verse, verse 25, قُلْ لَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا أَجْرَمْنَا وَلَا نُسْأَلُ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Say that you will not be accountable for our misdeeds, nor will we be accountable for your misdeeds. Now, subhanAllah, it's the same, again, scheme of asking, asking, and now it's affirming. And here, the notion of accountability is highlighted. And in fact, when you go back earlier into this juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse 67, وَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّا أَطَعْنَا سَادَاتَنَا وَكُبَرَاءَنَا فَأَضَلُّونَا سَبِيلًا. That verily, oh, they will say, oh, our Lord, we obeyed our leaders, we obeyed our elite ones. فَأَضَلُّونَا سَبِيلًا. And they led us astray from the right way. So you have these people now that are blaming their leaders, and they're saying, it's because of them, it's because of them, it's because of them. رَبَّنَا آتِهِمْ ضُعْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ وَلَعَنْهُمْ لَعْنًا كَبِيرًا. And they're even calling out and saying, oh Allah, double their punishment and condemn them with the worst form of condemnation. Curse them with the worst form of curse. Let them be doomed for them leading us to our destruction. So you see the lack of accountability here, the refusal to be accountable. And the ulama mentioned, subhanAllah, in the tafsir of these verses, when you really bring them all back together, it's not just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, pay attention to the blessings that He has given to you that you know came from Him, but it's also these people who you have taken as guides have done absolutely nothing for you. Why are you trusting them with something as precious as your purpose and your akhirah, your afterlife? Why are you letting them set the trends for you? Why not instead listen to the one who brought you into existence in the first place and who you acknowledge provides for you in ways that no one else provides for you? So surely, if you follow him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will find yourself in a place where he is providing you perpetually in paradise, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. But be accountable, pay attention to the clear favors that are around you, and ignore the clear trends of dalala, of going astray, and those that seek to divert you from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us firmness upon his way. Allahumma ameen.
Jazakumullah khair. Salatu wasalam ala Rasulillah wa alihi wa sahbihi wa amma ba'd. Interestingly, how you were talking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His majesty, again, with all of the beautiful names and attributes that each one of them, you know, as is mentioned, لا يحتمل نقصاً بوجه من وجوه. They don't carry any type of deficiency in any shape, form, or fashion, any name or attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think with that reality in and of itself defines Islam generally. That when we look at Allah, we look at the creator of the heavens and the earth, from what it necessitates is that He's complete in every shape, form, and fashion, and any attribute. Which leads me to the verses in the chapter Fatir, verses number 15 through 17, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just reminds us of who He is. And as a result of Him reminding us of who He is, it reminds us of who we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah, wallahu huwal ghaniyul hamid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people, it is you who stand in need of Allah. Antumul fuqara, and fuqara is a plural of faqir. And faqir is the one that is deprived in totality. They have nothing for themselves, no independent agency for anything. They have nothing that they own. Antumul fuqara'u ilallah. And what's deep about this is, subhanAllah, I love the point of how some would mention of donating a body part, your own body part. Some scholars have mentioned the impermissibility of it is because you don't ultimately own it. You don't own your own body part because you have no ultimate control over it, over its functionality, when it stops functioning, how it can function better even. So you are really in reality faqir. You are poor. You do not own your own self. And you fuqara ila Allah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deprived in need of Allah. Meaning that you need the enrichment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be enriched by Allah, the guidance from Allah, the pleasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, even when thinking about where do we find our happiness, where do we find contentment, where do we find peace, salam, where do we find it? The true Islam is finding peace and contentment with Allah, voluntarily seeking out that peace from Allah by worshiping Him. And worshiping Him is intensified and it's purified by knowing who He is. And one of the strongest ways of that is understanding, knowing His names and attributes and how they're manifest in our life on a daily basis. So when you see fuqara ilallah, that you are deprived, you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you know it or not, whether you know it or not, you are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is mentioned, you see, As-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned his tafsir, how when you look at the end of the verses, you see the names of Allah having a direct connection with the context of the verse. So take this activity, as I mentioned all the time, is whenever you see names at the end of a verse, look at the context and see how they're manifest in the context, thus increasing your iman, your faith, your love, and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, particularly with these names. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu huwal ghaniyu al-hamid. It is though it translates to mean Allah, He is the one that is self-sufficient and immensely praiseworthy. So al-ghani, as some scholars mention, he is self-sufficient. He is not in need of anything. But also al-ghani is al-mughni, the one that is self-sufficient, gives sufficiency to his creation. And it is a problem when someone says to their son, to their daughter, to someone that I've done this for you, I've done that for you, I've done this for you. You are al-mannan. You are someone that is wanting praise for yourself and not attributing it to Allah. Wanting respect, honor for yourself, and not attributing it to the one that even made it possible for the kaun in your existence. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, al-ghani, because he is the one that is self-sufficient and suffices others, that is why he deserves praise. When we say, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, we think of the name al-hamid, the one that is immensely praiseworthy. When we say, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen al-fatiha, we think of the one that is al-mughni, the one that is self-sufficient and gives sufficiency to others. Then he gives an explanation of his greatness, of his richness, of his praiseworthiness. In yasha' yudhibukum wa ya'ti bi khalqin jadid. Subhanallah. Allah says, if he wishes, he can remove you and put in your place a new creation. Yudhibukum. He can take you off the face of the earth. How, when, why is totally up to Al-Alim, which is another name, the all-knowledgeable. Al-Hakim, which is another name, the all-wise. Appropriation of his knowledge, when, what, where, how, that's up to his complete, perfect knowledge. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to do something, as we will see with this year's series on Al-Qadr, built off of knowledge, the creation, and what he has written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, the Kitabah, understanding that we are all in deprivation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when one thinks about their shortcomings, they look at their shortcomings and realize, I ultimately want Allah's pleasure. And the more that they think about those shortcomings, they think of the name Al-Ghafoor, which leads us to the next portion by our Shaykh, mashallah, Abdullah Smith, which is going to talk about this particular topic of our dhunub and these blessed days of Ramadan for us to be more attentive of filling it to fadl mashkura.
Jazakum Allahu khairan. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, amma ba'd. Just a few moments ago, Shaykh Omar Suleimani mentioned the importance of recognizing the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around us. And Allah ta'ala in the Quran, he gives us examples in order for us to be able to understand the importance of certain concepts. So in Surah As-Saba, Surah number 34, verses 15 through 17, Allah ta'ala, he says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَأٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٍ جَنَّتَانِ عَنْ يَمِينٍ وَشِمَالٍ كُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ رَبِّكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لَهُ بَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ وَرَبٌّ غَفُورٌ. Allah ta'ala, he says, indeed, in the city or the land of Saba was an ayah. Now Saba, they were the leaders of Yemen at the time. And Allah says in their city that they lived in, the town that they lived in, was an ayah. What was the ayah? Two gardens, one on the right, one on the left. Allah says, eat from the provisions of your Lord and be grateful. بَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ, a good city, وَرَبٌّ غَفُورٌ, and a forgiving Lord. And so this was an ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he blessed them with these two gardens. They weren't one behind the other, but one was on the right for the people of the right side. It was easy to get to. On the left, it was easy for the people of the left side of the town to get to. Allah says to eat from the provisions of your Lord as a sign that everything in those gardens was edible. It was good for them. A good place to live. It was self-sufficient. All they had to do was eat and be grateful. And even if they were to fall into some mistakes, Allah said that He's Rabbul Ghafur, that He is a forgiving Lord. But what did they do? Allah Ta'ala goes on in the next ayat, He says, فَأَعْرَضُوا فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَيْلَ الْعَرِمْ وَبَدَّلْنَاهُمْ بِجَنَّتَيْهِمْ جَنَّتَيْنِ ذَوَاتَيْ أُكُلٍ خَمْطٍ وَأَثْرٍ وَشَيْءٍ مِّن سِدْرٍ قَلِيلٍ. Allah Ta'ala says, so they turned away. They turned away from obedience. They turned away from the message. They turned away from being grateful. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, so we sent upon them the flood of the dam, and we exchanged their two gardens that used to be filled with fruits and lots of good things. We exchanged those two gardens with two other gardens that was filled with now bitter fruit and now filled with things that weren't really edible. A few minor lote trees. Now going from being filled with goodness to now their blessing has been taken away from them. Why did Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala do that to them? Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَفَرُوا وَهَلْ نُجَازِي إِلَّا الْكَفُرُ. Allah Ta'ala says, that is because they disbelieved. That is because they rejected. That is because they were ungrateful. And do we recompense except those who are ungrateful? And so these individuals whom Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala had blessed with everything they need, self-sufficiency, Allah, the one who is self-sufficient, gave them self-sufficiency. And so Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, because of their ungratefulness, because of their disobedience, because of their rejection, Allah Ta'ala removed from them what Allah Ta'ala had previously blessed them with. And so this shows us the importance of recognizing Allah's bounties and being grateful to what Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, and so that we can preserve and keep Allah's bounties, and that we don't have these bounties of Allah removed from us because of our own arrogance, our own rejection, and our own ungratefulness. I pray that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala makes us from amongst those who are believers. Amen. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to make us from amongst those who are grateful.
Ameen.
Yeah, it's important. SubhanAllah, how you mentioned ungratefulness, because I mean, even it takes for us to just stop and just have moments of stillness. You know, I think Ramadan really is a catalyst for that, especially in the middle of the night when everyone's asleep. وَصَلُّ بِاللَّيْلِ وَنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. As the Prophet ﷺ said, pray in the nighttime when everyone's asleep, just stillness, to sit and think about life, just have a flashback of your day and think about the blessings. You know, you hear people talk about nowadays, those that may not even believe in the Lord, they talk about you're having your gratitude journal, right? But we in Islam, just off of the name of Shakur and Al-Ghafur at the same time, right, the one that is thankful and appreciative and the one that forgives us of our sins, inshallah, we just need to think about everything we've been given, right? And the fact that it's given to us reminds us that it is a ni'mah, it's a blessing. And then being thankful for those blessings, subhanAllah. And the best way of being thankful is, subhanAllah, is practicing the sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us.
It's interesting that you mentioned Ramadan at nighttime, because similarly in the daytime, Allah ta'ala, because of what He's legislated, also gives us time to be able to reflect. Because what are we doing all day normally? We're usually eating and drinking. And eating and drinking consumes us. And when we're not eating and drinking, we're planning about our eating and drinking. And so Allah Ta'ala in the daytime of Ramadan, He removes that from us. Right? So what else do we have to do except ponder over Allah's bounties and think of ways in order that we can be more grateful than what we currently are?
Yes, subhanAllah.
When you talk about taking blessings for granted, I think one thing that does distinguish us, and JazakAllah khair, Sheikh, for the beautiful reflections. One thing that distinguishes us is that if you are not actively being grateful for those blessings, you are necessarily taking them for granted. Yes. If you're not saying alhamdulillah for what you have, even the simple things. Every single bite that you have, every time you sit down for a meal, if you're not saying alhamdulillah, the Prophet said, "Ta'im wa shakir." بِمَنْزِلَةِ صَعْمِ الصَّبْرِ, that the one who eats and is grateful is like the one who fasts and is patient. So the idea is to make you more aware of those blessings. And I also chose from Sutta Saba, more aware of those blessings, because when you're more aware, you're more grateful. And when you're more aware of the blessings, more grateful for the blessings, you're necessarily more connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you're less aware, less grateful, then you're necessarily more disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of that, you'll naturally be inspired towards sin, not the good deeds that are driven by gratitude. That's right. Shaitan's initial challenge, right? That you'll find that most of them are not from the grateful. وَقَلِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. And very few of my servants are grateful. There's an old man, rahimahullah, Amr ibn Mahmud, who used to walk around the masjid and he'd look around and he'd pick an orange. He was an elderly man around the masjid, always munazim, mashallah, for the masjid, was always there in the masjid. May Allah bless those elders that hold it in the masjid, you know, always hold the ground in the masjid. And he used to go and grab an orange from the garden, and he had this word that he would always say, Ummatun madnuma wa rabbun ghafur, Ummatun madnuma wa rabbun ghafur. So every time, a sinful ummah but a forgiving Lord, a sinful ummah but a forgiving Lord. He would always say that, his most famous statement. So anytime I come across these ayat, I remember Abu Mahmud rahimahullah, Ummatun madnuba, Rabbun ghafur. That's not like we did anything to deserve this pouring upon us the way that it does. SubhanAllah.
Yeah, I remember this old gentleman, Sheikh Saeed, he said to me one time, he said, you know, we always ask Allah for the blessing. We make dua for this particular thing. But when we get it, can we really handle it? Hmm. Like, are we really ready for what we're asking for?
Right. Some of the unintended consequences.
Exactly, man. Exactly. SubhanAllah, you know, you're given it, but are you ready to use it in a way that's befitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will you take it for granted, as you can easily take it away?
Yeah. You know, one of the things I think about sometimes, when we think about blessings, sometimes we normally think about food, clothing, and shelter. And we may sometimes even overlook some of the other things that are actually blessings. And if I may, one time I had an allergic reaction to something that I ate. And my windpipe expanded. And I couldn't breathe for a few seconds. And I couldn't get air in through my nose. I couldn't get air in through my mouth. And it felt like, it was only a few seconds in reality, but it felt like forever. And that's at that moment that I realized that even the breaths that we take, like we're constantly taking in an air, inhaling oxygen, exhaling. And are we really taking even the breaths that we take as grateful as we should be?
Yeah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us.
I mean.
We can't fast from breathing, right? SubhanAllah. Amazing. SubhanAllah. May Allah azza wa jalla forgive us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to be amongst the shakirin, mustaghfirin, layli wa nahar, and those who are constantly grateful and seeking His forgiveness day and night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us in this Ramadan. May Allah allow us to be amongst those who observe it properly.
Ameen.
Observe Laylatul Qadr and have it accepted from us. Allahumma ameen. Jazakallah khair, Shaykh
Abdullah.
Wonderful to have you. And New Jersey is blessed to have you now as well. Just hope, inshallah, you don't neglect us in Texas. Come back down to Texas, inshallah, ta'ala, sometimes.
Inshallah.
And inshallah, for the rest of you, we'll see you all tomorrow. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.